You know, we're jumping or we're finishing up the series, and I want to encourage us this morning. So hopefully you'll get encouraged this morning as we wrap up this season of prayer and fasting together, okay? And now next Sunday, starting a brand new series. This year, 2022, we've called the Year in the Word. Woohoo, right? And next Sunday, we're starting the book of Galatians, and we're going through that together. So it's going to be 8 weeks leading up to Easter, and there's 6 chapters. So we're going to do an intro, an outro, and then each chapter all the way through. And so if you want to get and read ahead, it's okay to cheat in this class, all right? Go ahead and read ahead. Read the whole book if you want to. You can read each chapter each week as we get there. But that's what we're jumping into as we get into this. We want this to be a year of spiritual growth for everyone and understanding how to study, read, and get into the Bible on your own. Have you ever had to wait on something? Yeah? Okay. So here's my first point as I'm talking this morning. Waiting is hard. Waiting is hard. Right, and we're ending the season of prayer and fasting, and some of you have been waiting for something, and maybe it hasn't happened yet. Maybe you're like, "Do I still have to wait?" That's what we're going to answer today. Okay, we're going to answer those questions. But waiting can be hard. I don't know if you've ever had a job interview, like you're looking for a new job or you need a job to begin with, and you go and you go to the job interview and you think, "Man, I think it went well, and they asked me questions, and I didn't screw it up, and all that, and you know, so I think I'm going to be okay." And then there's the whole waiting, right? Waiting for the phone call, waiting for the waiting to hear back. Am I going to get this job? And sometimes that waiting doesn't take that long. Sometimes you have to wait a long time. Anybody ever been there for that, right? That's been frustrating, just sitting there waiting for something to come or something to happen. I don't know if you've ever had this in your family. There's a waiting thing when you ask a question that can be so very annoying. And the question is, where do you guys want to eat tonight? Oh, how many family fights have started with those words, right? Like, where do you want to eat? And then you wait. Okay, everybody talk through. Well, I don't like that. I don't like this. I don't like it. And then finally come to an answer. Nobody's happy, right? That's how it ends. No, like waiting for an answer for something, right? Waiting is really hard. The question is, what if you don't get what you hoped for when you've waited? That's where life happens, right? What happens when you've waited and waited and that goal, that desire, that thing doesn't come? How do you respond to that? Because some of you right now, you've been in a deep season of spiritual growth, and you've been really pursuing God with prayer, and you've made your list, and you made your list as a family, and you're going into it, and you're like, we're waiting, and you're waiting. And yet you haven't gotten an answer yet. And you need to know, you may not get the answer yet. It can be so frustrating when we don't hear from God when we think we ought to, especially when we've been sharing our hearts and this is what I want to see happen, this is what I want to see happen, and then we have this gap between it happening and us really, really praying hard for it. What do we do in that gap? How do we respond? And people respond in different ways in that gap, right? Some people get frustrated and like, well, obviously God's not real and I'm ticked off at him and that's it. He didn't give me what I want, so I'm out. God must not even be a real thing. And they walk away, right? Some people will say, well, I'm still going to hope. I'm going to hope I'm going to maybe get an answer someday. And so you just continue pursuing and have a relationship with God. I want you to imagine it this way. Imagine a relationship with somebody here on earth first, okay? Imagine you're single and you're really looking for somebody to date. And the whole thing you're trying to find is something to kind of fill something. And there's like this gap in your life. And you're kind of like, man, I hope I can, you know, find somebody. And just so you know, as I'm telling the story, whether you're married or single, God may have where you want you to be. This is just an illustration, okay? So if you're single, don't be like, Tim, I had to talk like that. You know, like, it's just be where God has you right now, okay? But imagine if you're looking for somebody and you finally, like, you're going on a first date. You're like, okay, I kind of like this person. This is kind of I could see us hanging out. And so you go on a second date and a third date and start getting to know each other and start building a relationship. And all of a sudden you get to a certain date where all of a sudden they aren't doing what you want them to do. And you're like, well, that was not as nice. I don't know about that. And then you go on a next date and they do something or you have this expectation, but you've never communicated. And you're like, they're just not, I don't know, they're not doing what I want them to do. They're not what I hoped for. They're not what I want because they're not giving me something. See, a lot of times in relationships, we're trying to get something out of it. And if we don't get what we want out of it, then it's like, what do you do at that point in a dating relationship? You break up. right? You say, I'm not feeling it. We're not in this. You're not giving me what I want because my happiness is what I'm going for, right? And so you break up. Now, the thing is sometimes we do that and we have that same mentality with God. We go to God, we pray to God, we seek God, and we're like, I like him. He's giving me what I want. I'm getting what I want, and like he's giving me the good stuff, and things are good right now, and so this is all good. And then you're praying for something, and you're expecting something to happen, and whenever you don't get that thing, a lot of people treat him the same way as a dating relationship. I mean, well, I'm not getting what I want anymore, so I'm just going to walk away. I'm going to break up with God. I'm not going to come to church anymore. I'm not going to listen to sermons anymore. I'm not going to be in that group anymore. I'm not going to, because I'm not getting what I want. I'm not getting the feels. See, when we get into the season, am I preaching? I just didn't know if I'm preaching. When we get into the season, and we're waiting on God, and we want him to do something, there may be some lessons that he wants us to learn in the process. And there may be some things that we think we're ready for, but we might not just be ready for. Is anybody hot in here? See, we turn on the heater and y'all love it. And then I turn on the air conditioner and y'all like, it's cold in here. Well, I'm turning on the air conditioner. I got a phone that controls it, so. So if you get too cold, complain to me. And then I'll forward that to Jim Franks. Discipleship and care pastor, he's our complaint department. Email him, yeah. Email him at nikki@mynewhope.tv. What was I talking about? Where were we? I'm just sweating up here, so I'm like, what are we talking about? So I'm wondering where you're at with God in this season of prayer and fasting. Have you already gotten an answer from him? Have you already felt like, okay, he's telling me something? I'm seeing some things change. I'm seeing some action in these areas that I'm praying for. Awesome. You need to celebrate that like crazy. You need to thank God for that. Your heart should be like, I see you, God. Thank you for showing off and showing up in this moment. And thank him like crazy. Because we have a tendency to forget when he shows up. Because the next time he might not show up the way we want him to, and then we forget when he did. It's like, no, remember. He is a God who shows up. He wants to show up. Was the goal of your fast to get what you want, or was it to get to know God? Because we want you to get to know God. That's actually the goal. The goal isn't the dating. The goal is the relationship. And God wants that. He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to know him and be known by him. And that's what happens when we pray. That's what happens when we get into the scriptures. We get to experience a relationship. The goal shouldn't be the thing we want. The goal should be God. Amen. He isn't so concerned about your happiness as much as your holiness. He wants you to be better than. He wants you to grow. He wants you to become who all he called you to be. And when we pray and fast, we're putting ourselves in front of God saying, God, yeah, I want to be happy. And there's things he will give you to be happy. Like happiness is not a sin, okay? Like there are things he puts in your life that like, wow, that does fulfill. That makes me happy. That's awesome. And then there's things he puts in our life that don't make us happy, but make us grow and push us towards the holiness. So we can have both, but his end goal isn't ultimately our happiness. It's the holiness while we live on this earth. Eventually, we'll all be happy in the presence of God forever. That's the hope we have in eternity, right? Okay, so this is my encouragement right at the very beginning. When you end your fast, continue to pursue God in prayer and Bible reading. Don't think, I did it, I tried it, it didn't work, and now I'm done. Like, this is not a finish line. The fasting part can be a finish line. You can be like, I'm eating chocolate tonight, y'all. Like, right? Like, some of you are like, I've been waiting for coffee, and now I'm, woo! Isaac back here, I'm calling you out, Isaac, had his first coffee this morning, and so I don't know if he played bass faster and sang. Like, I don't know, but some of you are like, you can end the fast, but still feast with God. Okay, spend those times, continue to grow in your relationship with them, because the design and desire for those moments aren't your happiness, it's your holiness. Okay, you want to know God. God wants to know you. And so be there with him. Be there with him. I want us to have the same heartbeat as in Micah 7. But as for me, I watch and hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me. Do you hear the hope in that? Like, it may not be right this second, but my God is hearing me. I wait, I watch, I hope, because my Savior, my God, he's listening. He is with me. I want to encourage you, and there's a lot of fill in the blanks this morning. Some of them are reminders of a message I preached over the summer, but we're going to go into it. God will answer your prayer. He will. He will. And I'm going to explain how he answers prayers by the end of this morning for those of you who need the reminder of what happens when we pray and what happens in our relationship with God when we pray. I want to first give you the promises and then give you the expectations, okay? These are the promises of God. God will answer your prayer. Let's say it, but let's say, put my here. Let's all say this together. Let's proclaim it in our own lives, okay? Let's say, ready? God will answer my prayer. He will. And we can hope in that. We can hope in that. See, when we taught on fasting at the very beginning, we were in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. And this is what he said. He said, but you, when you fast, so we learned that there's an expectation. This is a part of our church and Christian discipline. There's seasons where we're going to fast. And so this shouldn't be the only one you do this year. If there's something you want to go deep in with God, do a fast on your own. Do like a week-long fast and like pursue him in a different way. If there's something serious going on in your life, if there's a health issue, if there's a job situation, if there's a relationship, like fasting is a good discipline to go deeper with God. He says, so when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will what? Reward you. Like I didn't say this. God said, like Jesus said this. Like Jesus taught this. He said, do this. Don't do it for fame. Don't do it for, look at me, I'm fasting. I know we're talking about fasting in church, which is awkward because it's like, I'm fasting, you know, but like the whole heartbeat behind this is between me and God, right? And what is done in secret, God has a reward for you in that process. Now, his reward might be different than what you thought it was going to be, and that's okay. But he will reward you. You will experience something in this fasting, okay? And so I want us to continue to pursue God, continue in prayer, continue in Bible reading. There's this idea of consistency and persistence when it comes to this. And so if you have your Bibles, the biggest verse we're going to look at is Luke chapter 11. So if you want to open your Bibles, get on your Bible app, whatever you use, go to the book of Luke chapter 11. And we're going to read Jesus' teaching on prayer, okay? Luke 11, it starts, the disciples say, teach us how to pray. And he says, this is the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And he teaches them that. And then he gives them two stories to help them understand what prayer is and what we're doing when we pray, when we're pursuing God in prayer, okay? So whenever you get to Luke 11, you can say, yep. Anybody else? Yep. Okay, all right, I want to do a trickle, yep. All right, so everybody's on the, all right, thank you. See, that says heat is on. I'm not happy about that. All right. I'm going to switch that to that. We're going to hit submit. I'm actually playing solitaire. It's a fun game. I'm almost there. Oh, all the aces. Okay, I'm just kidding. This is a squirrel moment for Tim. We're just having fun. Here we go. Luke chapter 11. Jesus is teaching on prayer, and then he shares these stories on prayer. And he said to them, the disciples, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves because a friend of mine is coming to me from a journey and I have nothing to serve him. So middle of the night, knock, 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 I need some of your bread. I don't have any, you know, 7-Eleven's closed. We don't have bunch of those, you know, Bell stores closed. I just no bread. And from inside he answers and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut. My children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even if he will not get up and give him anything just because he is his friend, yet because of his shamelessness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Okay. So not just because he's his friend, but man, because he actually just came over and he kept knocking, right? He's like, no, you don't understand. He's hungry. He's on a journey. My friend needs food. You've got it. Come on. He's being shameless because he wants to take care of somebody else. So he keeps going to him. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Now, which one of you fathers will his son ask for a fish, and instead of a fish, will give him a snake? If your dad does that, he's a jerk, y'all. All right, so like that's just right. It's mean throwing a snake at a kid. Don't do that. Or he will even ask for an egg, and his father will give him a scorpion. You got to be kidding me. So if you, despite being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father ask or give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This whole argument in this passage, Jesus is trying to prove a point about the heavenly Father, right? It's this idea, if the lesser is true, the greater is true, right? He's like, so the lesser is, if a father knows how to give his kids something decent when they ask for it, even though the father isn't perfect, the father's a sinner, the father's not doing everything he probably should do, like even though father is human, knows how to still give the good stuff, if the lesser's true, how much more will your heavenly Father, the one who sent his son to die for you and paid all the full penalty for you to experience righteousness in front of him, how much more will your heavenly Father want to give you good gifts? And in this one it says, those who ask for him of the Holy Spirit, which is the best gift ever. Like, there's another reading of this in one of the other books that talks about this, and it says the same thing, but how the heavenly Father wants to give you good things. He is a good God. He desires to answer our prayers, and he desires to move in our lives, and he desires to give us good things, right? And so I want us to continue with our heart and our attitude into this next season. We're ending the fasting season, into this next season, still waiting with hope, hopeful expectation that God is up to something in whatever you're asking him to do, however you're asking him to move, whatever area you want to see something different happen. He wants to do something, right? But here we are. And so far, some of us in this room are like, I don't see it. I'm trying. I'm praying. I'm getting into it. Some of you are like, crap, I ate some chocolate. That's why he's not answering the prayer. That's not the way fasting, okay, it's not like, it's like, oh, nope. I'm not going to do it now, right? Like, you'll do that with your kids because you're a sinful father, right? You'll be like, no, you don't get that. Sorry, you ate the chocolate. You know, like, but God's still like, no, I still want to move in that area, okay? This is not legalism. You all hear me? Okay, so don't play that game with God. Don't be like, I'm going to do good to earn what he wants to give me. Doesn't work. God just wants to give us the stuff. He wants to work in us. He wants to do things. He's not sitting there waiting for us to be perfect enough to deserve it. Amen. You will never get there. That's where mercy is us not getting what we deserve, which is usually the bad thing we should get. Grace is us getting what we don't deserve, meaning the grace that he blesses us with. That's what he's pouring on us. Grace and mercy. So if you ate some chocolate, say thank you for your grace and mercy, Jesus. All right? If you did, you know, like, the point isn't the thing. The point is God. So I want to go back and remind us, how does God answer prayers, okay? And I'm going to use the thing I use. Just a second. We're going to have fun with kids' toys. Anybody remember this? Which way do I have it? Okay. I'm going to teach you red light, green light, yellow light. Anybody like do like the kid thing with the tricycles and you learn how to drive? Safety Town? Oh, yeah, Safety Town. All right, I forgot what it's called. So this is kind of like a Safety Town like little thing. I want to teach you how God works with prayer, with the red light, yellow light, green light, okay? And I'm going to do it very quickly. I did it in a full sermon over the summer. We did a series called Get Your Prayer On, okay? So if you want to understand how prayer works, if you want to go deeper into prayer and you weren't here during the summer and you missed some of those messages, go back to our website, click on sermons, videos and sermons, or go to our YouTube channel and go to our Get Your Prayer On series, okay? Because we dug into all of this deeper. Today, I just want to remind us if you were here, and if you weren't here, you're going to get a really quick teaching on waiting on God. Waiting on God, okay? See, sometimes when we pray to God, sometimes in a season of prayer and fasting, we get to experience some green light prayers. See, green light prayers, you can fill in these blanks, green light prayers are a yes from God, right? Green light prayers are those prayers when we pray them, God's already like, yeah, on it. And like we see the response of that prayer pretty quickly, right? We see God show up and it's like, whoa, didn't expect it that fast. That was a green light prayer. When I prayed it, God already said, I'm already moving on it. It's already happening. Who loves green light prayers? We love green light prayers because that's when the dating relationship is good, right? We maybe I shouldn't be so judgmental there, okay? I'll rewind again. We like seeing green light prayers, not just because we get what we want, but we also see God in our day-to-day. It's those moments where God says, yes, I want to do that. And then he shows up and we go, whoa. And it increases our faith because we saw God say yes, right? He likes doing that. He loves playing with his kids, you know, and showing us that he's there. Green light prayers are a yes from God. We actually see this in a passage here in 2 Corinthians 1. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are a yes in Christ. I mean, there are prayers when we pray them, they're already a yes. God, forgive me of my sins. Yes, green light, right? It's already yes. He's promised it. It's done. It's finished. Boom, we're forgiven. Like, those are great prayers to pray. When we already know they're going to be a green light and we can hold on to those promises, like God's already given me the green light on this. And so when I pray it, it's received. It's done. Sometimes those are personal prayers. God, today my head is hurting and I have a bad headache and I have a lot to do. God, please heal my headache. And it's gone. I've had that happen. I didn't even drink any caffeine. Like, it just, sometimes it doesn't happen. You're like, please, a green light. Please, you know, like, you know. But when they are green lights and God does move, it encourages us, doesn't it? Can I amen on that one? Like, we want those, and God gives us those green light prayers. And so if you're ending your prayer and fasting season and you've already seen some green lights, again, like I said earlier, celebrate them. Thank God for them. Worship God for them. Share with other people your testimony of this green light. God did it. We say that we actually stomp on Satan's head when we celebrate testimonies. That's a part of spiritual warfare. It's saying, no, God can do it. Satan tried to do this, but God did it. Yes. Green light. Okay. So what comes after green light? It goes to, did the batteries die? Kids are driving all over the place in their scooters. All right. Yellow light. It is pretty dim. Yellow light prayers. So what are yellow light prayers? Yellow light prayers tell us to wait on God. When you get to a yellow light, you slow down. Some of you don't. I don't. I speed up. But some of you do the right thing, and you slow down. It's a warning that the red's coming, so get ready for the red. But it's a slow down. It's a wait. And so yellow light is wait on God. The answer is either slow, like slow down, and or grow. Some things need to grow before you get a green light. Slow or grow, okay? That's what yellow light prayers are, slow or grow. Many of you know that I love cars. I love racing. I love IndyCar. I love IMSA, if you don't know what IMSA is. This weekend is the 24 hours of Daytona, all right, for IMSA race. It's like one of the big races, like 265 drivers in 61 cars. Like, it's crazy what they do for 24 hours in these sports cars and in these, like, really high, like, prototype cars. Like, whoo, it's fun. About 4 years ago, my dad and I got to go. So going to Florida in December not or January is not a bad deal. And we got to see cars go around this incredible track. And I was thinking about racing and race cars, and I picture this. Imagine, like, an eight-year-old kid that just got a go-kart. And an eight-year-old kid in a go-kart is smiling, right? They're just having fun. They're in the backyard, and they're pretending like they're racing. They're just having a blast tearing up your yard. And you're like, don't tear up the yard. But they're doing it, and they're having fun. They're having a blast. Now imagine if that kid said, now this is good, but I want the IMSA prototype car that goes 220 miles per hour. And the dad says, okay. and says, we'll go down the track. We'll hop you in that car. And so imagine getting that 8-year-old inside of that car on the track and says, all right, go have fun. What's going to happen? No more kid. And no more car. Right? Why? He wasn't ready for it. He was ready for the go-kart, but he wasn't ready for the race car. Sometimes we pray, God, give me the race car prayers. And he's saying, but I'm preparing you for the go-kart. Because I don't want to give you more than you can handle. You need to grow. Right? He might be preparing you for that thing and putting things in your life to get you ready for that thing, but you're not ready yet. And it may be a yellow light prayer in your life. He doesn't want you to die. And he doesn't want you to be completely overwhelmed by a gift you can't handle, right? I remember when I was young, I prayed so many big prayers, like audacious, large, God, do this prayers. And as I look back at my young 20-something-year-old, if he would have given me then, I would have messed it up big time. And I'm so grateful I had a patient God who said, we're going to yellow light this because I got some work to do for you to get there, right? Think about it like a volcano. Like, volcanoes make earth. Like, it's crazy what a volcano does, right? It, like, erupts and then things grow because of volcanoes and islands get bigger and bigger and bigger. And the thing is with a volcano, the entire time that's there, something's happening under the earth, right? There's stuff happening. There's things we cannot see, things even scientists are trying to figure out still, like with all of our intelligence and equipment, like we're still trying to understand those things that happen below the surface when all of a sudden, what happened? All of a sudden it erupts. See, that's this idea that there's things that God may be working under the surface, preparing for you to experience the green light, but it's a yellow now because there's lots of things that need to be put in place before the green light can come. That's when we wait on God. We patiently wait in hope. Yellow light prayers can be some of the more frustrating ones, but they're also the ones that I think where God takes us from happiness to holiness, that he grows us to get us ready for the yes he may want to give us later on, right? Lamentations chapter 3 says it this way, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Another version says like patiently. It's good to wait quietly, to patiently wait, to be still, to continue to do the disciplines, to continue to pray, to seek him, to ask him, right, and pursue him as he's working on things that you may never see until it is a yes, right? Yellow light prayers are worth waiting for, right? And letting God answer. Now, the next from yellow, we move to what? Red. What does red mean?
No.
No, exactly. Red light prayers are a no from God. Now we wrestle. Now we wrestle with Jesus. Because we think what we're praying for is good. It's something we want to see. It's something we're hoping we'll get some action on. But red light prayers are when God just says, no. That's not going to change. That diagnosis the doctor gave isn't going to end in healing. That situation, that relationship isn't going to bring restoration. That, these are hard. Red light prayers are hard. Now, the thing is, though, when we get a red light prayer and we get a no from God, we've got to filter why, okay? Because the answer most of us want when we get a red light prayer is why, right? Like, why? Why do bad things happen? Why is this happening? Why is this situation? And sometimes we won't have that answer to that why this side of heaven. I mean, when you get to heaven, I'm thinking when we get to heaven, all the why questions are immediately going to be erased. But even if they're not, we're going to have a long time to talk about it and get to know God, right? Face to face. When he says no, there may be some reasons why he says no. we may be out of alignment with God's word, or we might be out of alignment with God's will when we pray something, okay? We might be out of alignment with God's word. This is where if we pray for something that's directly disobedient to what he's already told us, it will automatically be a red light prayer. These are the prayers like, okay, I'm dissatisfied in my marriage, and but she's cute, and I kind of like her. God, would you help me get out of my marriage so I can... And God would say, no, because that already goes against what I've already said. You with me? If we're acting in sin, we are acting outside of God's word and his will, and his answer is no, but we may pursue it as a yes. And then we will experience the consequences of the yes we said when he said no. I have said yes to things that God never said yes to and had to pay the consequences, whether it was something selfishly pursued or whether it's like I had an idea, well, it's a great idea and I'm just going to go for it. And God's like, I didn't say yes, Tim, but it's good. It could be even something good. And he's like, good luck. And then you learn your lesson and you come back and say, that wasn't good luck, God. Okay, teach me, right? Teach me. What do I need to learn here? So it may be out of line of God's word. It may be out of line of God's will, meaning he does have a will. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And we learned a while ago that his will is good. His plan for you is good. He desires good things. And so if we walk outside of his will, here are some reasons why we might get a red light, a no. It may be unbelief. I think I put it in your notes. You guys have your notes there? I have each of those words and I have a scripture passage next to it, correct? Okay, so you can go back, watch the sermon from the summer. I go into every single passage with this. I don't have time to do that today. But each one of these things has a passage that helps us explain why we might get a red light. One might be unbelief. He says, you pray, but you don't believe. You don't believe I can do it. You don't believe in me. You don't have enough faith. And so because unbelief, we're asking, he's like, I can't move because you have no faith in this prayer. For you, this is like a Hail Mary. Like you're just giving it a shot. And he's like, so unbelief might be a no because he wants you to grow, right? He wants you to grow in your faith. It might be a wrong motive. He says, you ask, you seek. Why? Because of selfish ambition. You're trying to get for yourself. You might have the wrong motive when you're asking, and it might be for selfish reasons. And he says those wrong motives will automatically be a no. So that might be a reason. You have to check your heart, check your motives when you're praying about something. This one is tricky because he talks about husbands. He says, don't mistreat your wife or it'll hinder your prayers. It's like, what? It's in the Bible. Like, it's in there. It says that. So I'm like, so mistreatment of your spouse, if you're treating your spouse really, really bad, and yet you're praying, God, give me blessing, he is probably saying, get that right first, and then we'll talk. The answer might be a no, because we're in the wrong place when we're asking him to move. It says unforgiveness, and this is a big one, I think, across the world. When we're asking for God to move, but we are actually harboring bitterness and unforgiveness towards somebody else, it'll create a barrier in your prayer life with God because it'll be covering the forgiveness he's already given you. He says, you got to uncover that and forgive others. I forgive you. And then let's talk. Unforgiveness can become a barrier where it's just going to be an automatic no. You're harboring bitterness. And that creates a wall in your prayer. Sin and disobedience. I mean, you're just living in direct sin and disobedience to God, yet you're asking for his blessing in your life. He might say, no. This is where he's calling you towards holiness. Okay? And this isn't legalism. This isn't like get right to get God. Like, that's not what it is. But it is a barrier in relationship with God. That's what sin is. And so each one of these, you can this week go dig into that passage. And if you're getting a red light, maybe go back and say, am I wrestling with any of these? Are there any barriers in my prayer life that I haven't dealt with yet? Are there things that are getting in the way of God moving and working and me receiving and walking into the promises he has for me? And start getting rid of those suckers, right? So you can start getting yellow and green lights. So you can start hearing what God wants. We wrestle when God says no. In John chapter 5, there's a scene, and Jesus healed a lot of people in the Bible, right? In the Gospels, you see him doing it a lot, going from town to town, healing people, casting demons out. There's this one scene at the pool of Bethsaida, and it was this pool that The story was an angel would come and stir the waters, and all the crippled people would be around the waters, and whenever it got stirred, the first one into the water would get healed, and then they would be able to just leave because they got healed by that stirring of the water. So this, like this, all the crippled people would be all around waiting for this. And God, Jesus, shows up to the pool, and he sees all these people, and he walks over to one guy and says, "What do you want?" He's like, "I want to be healed, but nobody can help me. When the water stirs, I can't get there fast enough." And Jesus heals him. He picks up his mat. He walks out. That's a good story, right? Jesus healed somebody. But do you understand? He walked over all the other people, and none of them got healed. I wrestle with Jesus on this one, right? Why did he pick that guy, but the rest of the people there are still waiting by the pool of Bethesda to look for healing? See, Jesus healed some, but he didn't heal absolutely everybody. This is what we have to wrestle with at times with God, and it is okay to wrestle with God with this stuff. He is big enough to handle it, and he's big enough to walk you through it in grace and love. And we need to let him, when the answer is no, we still want to pursue God. Because it doesn't change who God is. Okay? Y'all with me? So, as we're ending this fast, let's continue to keep pursuing him. Okay? Because whether it's a green light, which we love, a yellow light, which is okay, we'll wait on God, or it's a red light, we need to trust God and hope in them. Sometimes, you have to pray through until you see a breakthrough. Amen? Sometimes you have to pray through till you see a breakthrough. It doesn't happen right away. And I want us to be a people that prays through the breakthrough. I want to be a people that comes to God with persistence, like that neighbor knocking on the door at midnight. I'm coming to you, God. I'm coming to you, God. I'm coming to you, God. I'm waiting in hope for you to move in this area of my life, this area of my family's life. Or maybe you're interceding for somebody else's life and you're praying for them. That's awesome. And you continue to come before him over and over and over again. I need you to understand there will always be opposition on the front of a breakthrough. Always. Satan does not want you to live a victorious life. He doesn't want you to be on the other side of that battle. He wants you to be defeated and pushed back over and over and over again. And if you stay there, that's all you're going to experience. It's like, no, you got to pray through the breakthrough. You got to continue to bring it to God over and over and over again. There's this in Matthew, back in Matthew chapter 7 that we, or in Matthew 7, that's the parallel to what we read in Luke. We see that passage again about asking, seeking, and knocking. And there's a word in there that is, it's hard to translate because it means many different things. This word ask, it's the Greek word aiteo, and it means to ask, to beg, to call for, to crave, to desire. Do you hear the definition of this word? It's not just like ask. It's not like, can I have a sandwich? You know, like it's not just like a simple thing. Like this, the power behind this word is so deep, and this is what I want us to do as we push into this year. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and it will be open to you. But it's so much more than just ask, seek, and knock. It's this idea of keep on asking. Keep asking. Crave it. Desire it. Keep pursuing God with it. Keep going before him. It's a persistent and consistent prayer before our God. Keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep seeking. Keep going after him. Keep pursuing God, and you will find. Keep knocking. Go to the neighbor every day. I need bread. I need bread, right? And keep knocking on the door, and it will be open to you. For everyone who keeps asking receives, and the one who keeps seeking finds, and the one who keeps knocking, it will be opened. I want us as a church to be a church that continues to pray through the breakthrough. That we don't stop pursuing God and think, well, I've prayed, I've fasted, and I got this light, oh well. No, 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 no. I got the yellow light, I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to keep seeking. I got a green light. Well, what can I pray for next? Because he already said yes to that. Okay, God, what next? Or maybe I got a red light. I don't understand, God. But I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep seeking. I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to keep praying to you. Because the ultimate desire for God is for you to be with God. And when we keep seeking, asking, and knocking, he comes to the door and he reveals himself to us. So I don't want us to end this fast with a, I tried it, it didn't work. No, we keep going. I don't want you to end this fast thinking, I got the yes, so I can stop now. No, we keep going. We keep walking with God and we keep pursuing him with all that he has given us to pursue him with. I want to encourage you, keep reading the Bible daily. That's why we're doing the Bible thing. That's why we're getting the books of the Bible. We're going to give you what to read every week. If you don't have something to read, you're going to read through the book of Galatians, and we're going to do it all together, and we're going to give you memory verses every week. We're putting a star sticker sign on the back with your names on it. I think we ought to do it. I think it'll work, all right? So get ready for that, the star sticker system, and we're going to have the flannel graph. Anybody grow up in church? All right, if you didn't grow up in church, you have no idea what Tim's talking about. Some of us grew up in church, and we had all these things, and I'm grateful that we had them. A lot of people today didn't get that. So read your Bible daily. Let the Holy Spirit speak. Help him to help you understand his truth. Put on the armor of God prayer. Do that daily or do it weekly. Make that a part of your process of prayer as you're trying to break through some things. Okay? And continue to pursue him. Tonight here at New Hope, we are thanking God in a night of prayer and worship. So I want everybody who can be here to be here. I want everybody who cannot be here to be here because we're going to be praising God together. Amen. It's different than a Sunday morning, okay? If you've never been to one of these, it's completely different than what we do here on a Sunday morning. It's more powerful. It's more personal. And it's deeper in our time with God. So I would encourage you, we're going to sing some songs. We're going to pray together. We're going to praise together. We're going to have a time of testimony. And so maybe if you have gotten some green lights, we want to celebrate that with you. And so just come and share your green light prayers or share the prayers where you've seen God work in your life or your family. It was so cool here. I've heard more stories about families doing this together than I had in years past. So way to go, families. Keep doing that. So tonight, be here. It's at 6 o'clock, and we've got childcare, and it's just going to be an awesome time together as we end this together. Now, some of you in this room, let me ask you this question. Are you tired of dating God? Because it's exhausting to have that kind of relationship. I get what I want, so I'm good with God. I didn't get what I want, so I'm not good with God. That's an exhausting relationship. If that's your actual dating relationship, the other person's exhausted, by the way. But that's how we treat God. Today, I'm going to challenge you to stop dating and marry God. Get serious and get real with God. Spend time with God. And maybe today you need to start your relationship with him right now. And so I'm going to pray in a moment, and I'm going to ask you, if you're done dating and you want to actually be with Jesus and see him move in your life and have a relationship, I'm going to ask you to pray with me, okay? So let's do that right now. Let's spend some time in prayer and response. So if you want to have that real relationship, maybe today you want saved. That's the word we use. Do you want to experience the salvation of God, the forgiveness of your sins, his mercy and grace on your life, freedom from what sin costs you? Sin costs death. God freed us from that, from sending his son Jesus on the cross. When he died on the cross, he paid our debt in death for sin. And then he gave us Jesus through that sacrifice, deposited his righteousness, his rightness with God into our account if we accept that gift and proclaim Christ in our life. If you want to move closer to him, today might be your day to start that relationship. So you can pray with me. I say there's no magical prayer of the pastor. These are your words and your confession to God. And so if you make this commitment, make it seriously. Don't make it like half-hearted. Like if you want it, make it serious and say, today I'm in. And so you can pray. Let's pray together, church. You can pray this. You can say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I don't have everything together. And I believe that Jesus did die for my sins. on the cross. And I want to be forgiven for my sins now and forever. I want a relationship with you. I want eternity with you. So I'm asking for you to forgive me of my sins. I turn from them. I turn to you. I give you my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, the gift that you promised. Fill me with your joy and peace right now. And break any stronghold in my life that would keep me from you. I want to be yours now and forever, and I only proclaim this in Jesus' name. Amen. And God, for all of us in this room, the enemy is real, alive, and active. He's a jerk. I'm grateful that you've already given us victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us act like it, live into it, and pursue you daily. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Everybody said amen? Amen. Amen. Listen, if you made a decision today to take God seriously, we want to know about it. And I want to know about it so we can be praying for you. So grab that Connect card that Jim's going to talk about in a moment and mark on the back of that Connect card, today you made a decision. Whether it's you recommitting your life or you made a decision for Christ today for the first time, we want you to take serious. We take it serious what God's doing in your life, okay? So let us know that. So awesome.
Yeah, that Connect.